out of the way, you have a connection card that you probably are sitting on, or you have it in your hand right now, or you already threw it away. But if it's your first time, that's really important. We'd love for you to fill out the front side of that connection card with as much information that you're comfortable with. And if you take it to the first-time guest table, we've got a mug, we've got a hat. We'd just love to give a gift to you saying thank you for being with us here this morning. As I thought about today, God reminded me, I think, you know what, Jeff, you've never done a teaching on baptism. And I'm like, well, that's probably a good idea. Maybe we should actually teach on why we do baptisms and why, if you're a follower of Christ, you should get baptized. So before we do the baptisms today, I just want to spend 10, 15 minutes and doing a simple just teaching, letting us all know, in case you're not familiar with why we baptize around here. I'm guessing that a lot of us grew up in different denominations. Each denomination has different practices. We've got a trough full of water up here, so we immerse people when we baptize. I want to let you know why we do that. So if you wouldn't mind, if you flip over your bulletin on the back, you've got some fill-in-the-blanks. Just a way for you to stay engaged, follow along with me. And we're going to rapid-fire through these because I want to get to the baptisms, don't you? All right. You know, and today is a little bit different if it's your first time. Today truly is a celebration. That's what today is all about. We're here to celebrate Jesus and what he made available to us. And we're also here to celebrate the folks who are going through with baptisms today. And so it's a little bit different. So my teachings will be 15 minutes. We're going to have extended worship. So that's a good thing. Get more of the guys behind me and less of me. So it's going to be even a better day. But 15 minutes, what is baptism and why should you get baptized? Your first blank is this. Baptism is a practical representation of the gospel. Baptism is a practical, you could say a visible representation of the gospel. And hopefully some of us may be asking, well, then the really important question is, what is the gospel? Because if it's a visible representation, I just want to let you know, in case you're not familiar with it, you know, I went to church 12 years ago, first time I had been to church ever in my life at the age of 31, other than maybe Easter occasionally with grandma, and then someone took me to a capital campaign one day. And so other than that, I hadn't had any church background or experience, and so I went in that day and I heard the gospel. And it changed my life. So I want to make sure everyone understands what we're doing up here and what the gospel is. And the gospel in 3 or 4 minutes is simply this. You know, all of us here, we are created in the image and the likeness of God. No doubt about that. Another truth that goes along with that is that we've all done a great job of messing that likeness and image up. We all agree with that, that none of us are perfect. That as much as we want to do the right thing, there are times in our life that we don't always do the right thing. We don't always honor God with the way we live. And it doesn't matter who we are. Even my sweet little grandma May, she sometimes messed up. There are things in her life that weren't perfect. So the Bible calls that sin. You can call it messing up. You can call it screwing up. You can call it blowing up. I don't care. We'll call it sin. That's what the Bible calls it. So all of us have sinned. And Scripture tells us that there's consequences to that. And the consequences says the wages of our sin is death. It means it's a physical death, but also a spiritual death. It means that our relationship with the God who created us is broken, that it's fractured, that God is holy and perfect. And although we may not be the worst person in the world, that we ourselves, we're not holy and perfect like God. And so God, because he's holy, our relationship with him is fractured. And so there needs to be something done about that. And so God said, you know, enough's enough. I want the people I've created to know me, to be with me, not only today, but forever. And so God's solution was his son, Jesus Christ. God sent his son, Jesus, into this world. And Jesus was different than every one of us, different than my grandma, May. Jesus was different, and he never sinned. He was perfect. He was the perfect son of God. He was tempted like you and I were, but he never gave in to those temptations. And Jesus, because he was perfect, because he was sinless, it allowed him to do what only he could do. When Jesus died on the cross, he died as a sacrifice for our sins. All the sins of the world were cast upon Jesus when he hung on that cross. It's why Jesus, when he was on the cross, said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because at that moment in time, our sin, all our junk was put onto Jesus. He was forsaken by God. God the Father turned his back on Jesus. But Jesus took those sins upon himself for us. But we know that's not the end of the story, right? 3 days later, what happened? Jesus walked out of the grave, that he breathed, he really died, he literally died, he stopped breathing, but he came back to life, he was resurrected. He walked out of the grave in defeat of death, not only for himself, but on our behalf. And Scripture says that whoever believes in that, whoever receives Jesus into their life, they get the right to become children of God. That they're now, and we've been talking about that the last 6 weeks here at Village Community Church, you're adopted into the family God. The moment that you put your faith in Christ, that you look at yourself and say, you know what? And this is what the baptism candidates have done. I've talked to them. You know what? I'm not perfect. I need help. I need forgiveness. I need grace. No matter what I do, it won't be enough. And they're looking solely to the person of Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And so they come here today, they're saying, you know what? I'm a new creation. I'm different. I'm a follower of Christ. I have salvation, not only forever, but today I'm living out. I'm living my life under the grace of God. And that's what the gospel is. And so this is a visible representation of that gospel. And if you have a Bible, turn to Romans. And this will make more sense after I read this verse. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. It says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That passage talks about how we, if your faith is in Jesus, what it's saying is when Jesus died in the spiritual realm, you died with him. And when Jesus rose from the grave, you rose with him. And this is what this represents here. As people go under the water, it's mean they died with Christ. And when they come out of the water, they were risen to new life like Christ was risen to new life. And this is what baptism looks like. That's what it is. Point two, faith unites us to Christ. Baptism symbolizes this union. So it is by grace we are saved through faith, not by works, so that no one should boast. It's our faith that unites us with Christ. And this baptism symbolizes this union that we have with Christ. Let me put it to you this way. It's kind of like a wedding ceremony. You know, at the end of the wedding ceremony, what do people say? With this ring, I thee wed. We know it's not really with this ring that you're married. It's really the covenant you made before God is what unites you in marriage, right? But the ring is a symbol of that covenant you just made. It's the same thing with baptism. If you're a follower of Christ, the faith that you placed in Christ is what unites you with Christ. This is just a symbolic of that union that you now have with Christ. And so I love to make it clear that the folks being baptized know this, and you also know this does nothing to affect someone's eternity. That's been sealed. That's been done through the faith that someone has in Christ. This, again, is an outward expression. It's a symbol of the union we have with Christ. And then finally, I would say this about baptism. What is baptism? It's immersion. Baptism is immersion into water. The word for baptism in the New Testament is baptismo. Baptismo means to dip or to sink into the water. It's kind of a word picture. It's used in other literature outside of Scripture to describe a ship that is sinking, that is going underwater. It's kind of immersion into the water. So that's here. That's why we practice baptism this way. Some of you may have been baptized after you made a decision to follow Christ. You may have been sprinkled, and you're asking, well, was that valid? I would say, sure, it's valid. It's okay. But we hear how we look at Scripture. We think the best way to practice baptism is through full immersion. So the folks being baptized today will go all the way into water, and they'll come out of the water, again, symbolizing their union with Christ, just a visible, practical representation of what the gospel is. And so that's what baptism is. But the question I want us all to think about is why me? Why me? Why should I get baptized? And this question is for those that sit here right now. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. You've made that decision. Your faith is in Jesus and him alone for the forgiveness of your sins. And if that's you and you have not been baptized since you made that decision, maybe you were baptized as an infant, but I'm talking if you have not been baptized since making your decision, I want you to think about this question this morning. And actually, I want you to wrestle with this question this morning. Why me? Why should I get baptized? I'll give you four reasons why I think you should get baptized. And for those in the room that yet aren't a follower of Christ, my hope and my prayer throughout this whole week, too, is that maybe today you would see Jesus in a different light. You may have come in here with lots of questions about who Jesus is, and I think we got people in this room that are on that journey, and you're getting closer, but you still have a couple things that, you want to know the answer to this before you totally surrender your life to Christ. And my prayer is that during this service, at some point, the Holy Spirit would speak to you and maybe answer some of those questions, but really let you know that it's okay to have questions, and it's okay to move forward with following Jesus Christ. None of us are always going to have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. Scripture doesn't give us every single answer to life. There is much more to know about God than we can contain in one book, that's for sure. And so if you're not yet a follower of Christ, I've really been praying all week that today's the day you may surrender those questions and begin to follow Jesus. But for those of you that are already a follower of Christ, four reasons why I think you should get baptized, be it today or sometime down the road. The first is this. Jesus commanded it. Matthew 28, verse 19, this is some of Jesus' parting words to his disciples, to those who were at that time followers of Christ. He said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Simple command from Jesus. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go out, tell people the good news of Jesus Christ, and when they believe it, you baptize them. It's just a simple command from Jesus. So number one, why should I get baptized? Jesus said so. Number two, why should I get baptized? I say the apostles commanded it. Verse in Acts chapter 2. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." So Jesus gave these instructions to the disciples, to the apostles, and the apostles followed through on it. They felt like it was a valid command from Jesus, like it was something they were supposed to do. And it's a pattern throughout all the early church. Repent, believe, and get baptized. You see it throughout the whole book of Acts. Repent, meaning acknowledge the sin in your life. Believe, put your faith in Jesus Christ, and then get baptized. And this is a practice that's been going on in the church ever since Jesus was resurrected. It's what the church does. So that's another reason you should get baptized, I believe. Number three, it was good enough for Jesus. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 through 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. I'm guessing some of us didn't actually know that or realize that, but Jesus himself was baptized. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Why should I get baptized? Why did I get baptized? If it was good enough for Jesus, it is good enough for me. And but to catch what the scripture says when he did that, you know, Jesus too had to humble himself. Just like we have to do. We have to humble ourselves. We have to honor God. We have to have this reverence for God. And that's what Jesus had. He was his father. He had this reverence, the honor. He humbled himself. He let John the Baptist, who wasn't the eternal son of God like Jesus, baptize him. And what was the response of the father to Jesus? "You are my son, and I am well pleased with you." What an awesome thing. I think when we take that step as well, we may not hear that voice in our head, but I know that our Father in heaven is thinking the same thing, like, "Thank you. You get it. With you, I am well pleased." So it was good enough for Jesus? Maybe it was good enough for us. And then lastly, this is an encouragement and also a challenge. Why should I get baptized? If you're a follower of Christ and you haven't yet done that, and again, it doesn't matter if you made a decision to follow Jesus in the car on the way over here, or you made a decision to follow Jesus 20 years ago. And I often think the person who made a decision to follow Jesus 20 years ago and still hasn't been baptized, it's even harder at times for them to kind of make that step. And I know some of you have been there. I've talked to you because you have these feelings like, man, if I get baptized now, people will just think I'm a backslider. Why is he getting baptized? I thought he knew Jesus, and now he's getting baptized. And so we have these thoughts in our head, and we actually have Satan telling us these things to try to detour us from baptism. But why me? The final point is this. It's simple, but I think it's challenging. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Simply, delayed obedience is disobedience. Any time we put off doing something God wants us to do, it's disobedience. And in baptism, I want to make this clear that baptism truly is a celebration. And I'm not sitting up here saying it's just the act of obedience. It's a way we show our love and our gratitude to the God who saved us. It is a celebration, it's an act of love, but it's also an act of obedience as well. And if you're in this room and you know Jesus and you have not yet been baptized, it may sound harsh, but you need to hear the truth that you're being disobedient to the commands of Jesus, to the practice of the church, to following him as he was in baptism. So So my hope is that, you know, I know I can say this, I can teach this, but it's really up to you. It's really the work of the Holy Spirit to bring you the conviction from the Scriptures that maybe you should be baptized. So I just say that to prime the pump, to get you thinking, and I'm going to give you an hour. I want you to know you're going to have an opportunity, if you haven't signed up already, to get baptized today. And I'm hoping some of you will take advantage of the opportunity. I want to let you know we have clothes for you. That after you go under the water, we've got all shapes and sizes of clothes. Don't worry. We're going to give you a towel. We're going to give you clothes. You can change into them. You don't have to go outside with wet clothes if you don't want to. So I'm trying to remove all the excuses I can for you to get baptized today. At the same time, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? If you're a follower of Christ and you decide, I'm not getting baptized today, do not feel condemnation. You may have to wrestle with the Holy Spirit about it. Part of me doesn't want to say that because it's like an easy out, but it's the truth of the Word of God, so I need to say it. But wrestle with it. Just wrestle with it. So that's what baptism is. That's why these two folks have signed up to get baptized today. They want to acknowledge what Christ has done in their life. They want to show you how much they love Jesus. And so around here, when someone gets baptized, we make a big deal about it. So when someone comes up and they get out of the water, we better hear some hooting and hollering, because I guarantee you that's what's going on in heaven, that there's a celebration. It says every time a sinner repents, there's a celebration in heaven. I believe every time someone gets baptized, there's a celebration in heaven. So can we out-celebrate the angels today after these folks get baptized? I mean, we're creating the image and likeness of God. Angels are. We ought to be able to celebrate this even bigger and louder than the angels can. So with that, I'm going to ask Kathy, would you please come up?